T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
8 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Begley's behind the glass. You guys with us on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We'll get back to all of the conversation here about the Eagles, about the Raiders, and, of course, about our guy Ben Simmons, who just continues to give us something new every single day to yell and scream about. Right now, though, we got to go out to the guest line. My guy Cody Decker, he is the host of Big Time Baseball, also the BetMGM MLB podcast. And he's been with me a lot on BetQL Daily and filled in with me. And we've done a bunch of shows together. And when there's baseball to talk about, I'll call up Cody Decker. And when there's Eagles Raiders to talk about, well, I mean, this guy's as big of a Raiders fan as I know. Let's get his thoughts. Cody, how you doing tonight, man?
Oh, you know, I'm just thinking about the Eagles Raiders and just already anticipating the vomit-filled nausea I'm going to experience, knowing full well that the Raiders should not lose to the Eagles, but likely will, and it's nauseating.
You know what? When I was telling the audience we were bringing you on, I was like, listen, Cody's a big Raiders fan, but he hates the Raiders as much as most people right now hate the Eagles in Philadelphia. So this will be a fun conversation. Cody, what did you think about last week? Like, they lost their coach, right? The whole Gruden thing happened, and they blew him out of there because of what happened. And then they get the interim in there, and they win their first game. Now, that happens sometimes. Did you think it was good coaching last week to kind of rally around us against the world? How'd they do that without their coach last week?
I think it's just that. I think the team rallied around that us versus them type mentality. And, you know, who's running the ship right now? He's been around and been offered some head coaching jobs in the past, so it's not like it's a slouch right there running the Raiders. But let's be real clear here. The Raiders are a bit of a disaster. I don't expect much out of them. I think they might be able to take advantage of their division, that which is turning out to be kind of weak thus far. I don't know. I as of right now, I'm not willing to put myself behind them saying, yeah, let's go. I want the Raiders to win. They've done this to me before, Joe. I know what's coming.
And the weird part with them so far this year, you know, because the Eagles here with us in Philadelphia, Cody, they've had a couple good games and they've surprised them one, and then they've had some games where they look terrible. And I'm looking at the Raiders. They've had some good moments. You know, they go and they beat the Ravens in week one, and they bounce back last week and have a nice game. But then this is the same team that lost to the Bears at home a couple weeks ago. The Bears are kind of like the Eagles. They're not that good.
That game against the Bears was one of the more embarrassing football games. It was like they were playing a different sport. I didn't understand what I was seeing. It looked, you could see the frustration on Carr's face every single passing play, endless pressure. And the team played without a heartbeat, which is why it was nice to see them kind of come together this last week. But is this a team that can really sustain that for 2 weeks? Can they really keep that us versus them mentality that long? As of right now, I've never seen them do it.
Yeah, they've been so up and down, and they have an interim coach right now. So the Eagles are headed to Las Vegas for the game 4:05 on Sunday. Cody, we know about Derek Carr, and he's a good quarterback, and he's been there a while. How good is Max Crosby? Because, you know, I keep looking at what he's done so far and all the pressures, all the sacks last week. Is he the guy that I'm going to have to worry about chasing down Jalen Hurts and causing fumbles on Sunday?
I hope so, but I'm not. Again, that defensive line and that O-line, both of them are just scary to me. They're both made out of graham crackers. It's like every week you don't know what you're getting, and I just simply don't know what to think right now. But like you said, the Eagles are a lot like the Bears, and I saw what the Bears did to the Raiders.
All right, Cody Decker's with us here. He's a Raiders fan. He's also the host, a host on Odyssey Sports, Big Time Baseball, BetMGM MLB Podcast. Cody, let's touch on the baseball before the game starts tonight, and of course we got a game 6 tomorrow night as well. Red Sox, Astros, Cody, this series has all been about offense. It's incredible. Until Framber Valdez pitched well in game 5, it was basically just like who could outscore the other team. It's Eovaldi tonight, who's got pretty bad history against the Astros. Luis Garcia, who's been terrible in the postseason. Are you expecting another slugfest ALCS tonight?
I am. And here's the issue. Also, Eovaldi coming out of the bullpen the other night, not having himself a good outing. I can't see him really going. I think he's going to end up with a situation like Urias with the Dodgers the other night, where he's just not going to be able to extend himself late into innings. I'm not expecting a high strikeout rate. I'm expecting him probably to be out of the game by the fourth inning. I do think both these teams are going to score runs. The over has just been huge for every single one of these ball games. Both these teams' offenses are just as dynamic as any team in the past 20 years. But both teams' arms are leaving a little bit to be desired. So I don't feel very good about either team when they get to the World Series. But right now, man, it's just going to be a slugfest, and I do think that the Astros are going to be finishing it up possibly tonight.
Cody, the NL, I mean, it's uncanny. It's the same pattern, Cody, as it was last year. The Braves won Game 1, Braves won Game 2, Dodgers took Game 3, Braves win Game 4 to go up 3-1, and we know what happened last year. Dodgers came all the way back. Last night it was Chris Taylor with a crazy elimination game with 3 home runs. Is it the Braves' time to get to the World Series and knock them off? Or are you ready to say this series is going to be the Braves? Or are you like me and you think, man, the Dodgers are just tough to knock out?
I just can't see a world where the Dodgers get knocked out of these playoffs right now. I just don't. I think we're getting a rematch of 2017, which, listen, everyone around the country can claim that they hate both these teams as much as anybody. You want to see the rematch. I sure as hell want to see this rematch.
Yeah, I mean that it would be. I mean for Fox's perspective, that they'll do jumpa jacks if we get that one. Cody, Game 6 tomorrow. So you're with me. You're on the Dodgers. What do you expect out of Scherzer? The last couple outings have been weird. Do you think he's out of gas a little bit, or do you think this is the weird usage? Because I was looking at it. I mean, he really hasn't been on full rest now since the end of the regular season. Wild card game, they used him Game 3 against the Giants, and he came out of the bullpen to close Game 5. Short rest for Game 2 of the Braves series. This is the first time we get Scherzer on full rest in a while here.
Yes, and keep in mind, he did say a word that really scared me, and the word was dead arm. Here's the thing. If Max Scherzer's last game where he gave up 2 runs to the Atlanta Braves and getting pulled in the 5th was him with dead arm, I feel pretty good about Max Scherzer on normal rest in this next game. The team has only lost 1 game since he's been wearing a Dodger uniform that he has started, and it was a fluke 1-0 loss. It's been pretty staggering what he's done for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yeah, man, I don't think they're – if nothing else, if the Braves do go to the World Series, it ain't going to be in Game 6. It's going to have to take place in Game 7.
Cody, we'll end with this because you and I haven't spoken since. What was your feeling? What was your emotion when you were watching, I guess it was a week ago Thursday, when that Giants-Dodgers series ended on that check swing? I thought that call was by Gabe Morales was so awful that, like, I just turned my TV off and shaking my head. Really, that series between those two teams, we ended on a check swing that wasn't even a swing. What were you thinking as you watched that?
I think we were watching one of the best playoff games we have ever seen in our lives, and right then, that ending, it was just like pulling the rug out from under us. It upset me, mainly because here's the thing. I think he would have probably struck out on the very next pitch, and the Dodgers would have won anyways. The problem is we'll never know because that was a terrible, terrible call, and I'm sorry. If you're going to call him out on a check swing like that, it's got to be obvious, and I mean obvious, and that was not only not obvious, it wasn't even close.
No, it was terrible. Cody, I appreciate you giving us a few minutes tonight. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game Sunday. Eagles, Raiders. We'll catch up soon. Thanks, bud.
Later, guys.
There he goes. Cody Decker, Odyssey Sports, Big Time Baseball, the BetMGM podcast. He's a good baseball guy, and he's a big Raiders fan who you could tell hates the Raiders. I mean, you would think he'd come on and say his team's going to win. He thinks his team stinks.
I think a lot of people can identify with that.
Yeah,
a lot of our listeners probably feel the same way about the Eagles.
Yeah, it feels like both fan bases kind of hate their team. But we will be getting a bunch of Eagles fans on Sunday in Las Vegas. I feel like this might end up like some of those games a few years ago. Because doesn't it feel like everyone circled this game as the one they're going to travel to? And I'm sure, well, I know, Eagles fans couldn't travel last year. I don't think the Eagles played. Maybe Dallas in December, did they play maybe one game in front of fans on the road? Probably, but, you know, it was a weird year with some teams had limited crowds for 5 minutes, some teams had none, some states were different, Texas, of course, was different, but this is the first time, you know, in terms of a lot of people, fans of the Eagles got to travel. I saw a video today of Eagles fans screaming and yelling and singing on a plane. It feels like, and just based on the Raiders game so far this year, I don't think that stadium is being filled fully by Raiders fans, right? Las Vegas is a transient city. People go in there, they go out, they travel to it. And real diehard Raiders fans, I mean, they're living in Northern California, and I'm sure that it's not, I don't think it's a far drive, but it's not like they live in Las Vegas. I feel like that stadium's going to be pretty split on Sunday.
Yeah, I feel like the three teams that have moved recently in the Rams, the Raiders, and the Chargers, they play in cities that don't necessarily care about them.
Right.
Like, I know the Rams have been good, but if you ask people in Los Angeles who their favorite football team is, I feel like the majority would probably say the Las Vegas Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And no one really cares about the Chargers. They had trouble selling out a 30,000-seat soccer stadium for a couple seasons. But, yeah, I mean, this is going to be the big destination. Look at the rest of the Eagles' road games. They go to Denver. They obviously already played in Charlotte. And outside of the division games, they don't really have a destination city, right? There isn't a Miami on the schedule. There isn't anything like that. They don't go to Los Angeles this year. So, yeah, if you were to pick a game to travel to, and that's something that you and your family or you and your friends do, this is the week to do it.
Yeah, and, well, a couple years ago, I guess 2017, more than a couple, when the Eagles fans seemed to take over all the road stadiums, they had, what Tucker just said, they had two of them. They had two destination games. The Charger game, which, I mean, I've never heard a road stadium sound like that. When they played in the, what was it called, the StubHub Arena or Center or something?
Yeah, StubHub.
Something.
I don't think it was stadium, but it was something.
Something StubHub. I mean, there was all Eagles fans. It was small venue, but it was all Eagles fans. I remember listening to the roar when LeGarrette Blount went up for the, like, 60-yard run or whatever late in the game to ice it, and it was just like, it sounded like an Eagles home game. And then the Rams game, the game Wentz got hurt, that marquee game, and it was a great back-and-forth game, and Eagles won it and clinched there. Or got closer to home field advantage and the division, like that was all Eagles fans too. So this is probably the closest thing to that, where it's going to be a packed house of Eagles fans. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Have you given up hope? Have you thrown the towel in on the 2021 Eagles? I haven't yet. I still believe this team could turn around. The schedule is much more favorable, even starting on Sunday against the Raiders, but then the Lions after that, a lot of Denver and New Orleans and the Giants and the Jets and Washington on this schedule the rest of the way. I still believe the Eagles could be a good team this year, could turn this thing around and compete for the playoffs. Agree, disagree, and we could talk Ben as well here on WIP. Art's in the Northeast. Hey, Art.
Joe, did you get Tucker a show yet?
No, I mean, since last night, no, I haven't had the. I mean, I don't get to pull the strings around here, Art.
Yeah, I'll talk to Spike, see if we can get you to pull some strings.
Well, but anyway, we actually have a new boss now, but you got to talk to the new guy.
I know. Well, yeah. Spike still oversees everything.
Yeah, you know, you're right. He's kind of in charge of all of this. So yeah,
I'm right, that's the first thing.
All right, message Spike. Yeah, tell him what you want to do here, program wise. Art, what's on your mind?
Listen. I lost some steam because we've been talking about Eagles and other things, but are you and I the only ones suspicious of how this Simmons thing is taking shape?
Art, I don't think we're the only ones. I just think some people are either they don't want to say the truth or they're just trying to pretend it's not true. I mean, it you got to be crazy not to be suspicious of everything.
I mean, these psychiatrists that come on and start to say, oh, yeah, it's definitely a mental thing where, I mean, please, Simmons is sitting in a corner somewhere laughing his you-know-what's off right now. I mean, he only wants to get paid, and given what the other things he do, as you so very well expressed before, the pattern, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, how naive can people be? I don't want to be a cynic, but please, Joe. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
And Art, I understand it. I feel you, and I appreciate your phone call. I mean, yeah, I think there's a difference between being a cynic, being insensitive, and again, just looking at the facts. I mean, just looking at again, I'll use the term pattern of behavior. There's been a pattern of behavior where this player and his agent have been doing everything in their power to get out of here for months. And along the ride, they don't want to lose the money. I mean, that's it. They don't want to lose all of his money. So you kind of add up showing up in the middle of a preseason game to maybe not get fined that particular day or game because he did show up that day and then his back hurt. I mean, getting thrown out of practice because he did, he did show up for those practices, though. He showed up. You can't find him. He showed up. He's had sweatpants on. He had a phone in his pocket. Like, and then now he's not mentally ready, and he told the team today. And I guess Joel Embiid did address the crowd before the game tonight and in so many words said, let's give Ben a little break here, and he's still part of our team and all that stuff. And that's Joel Embiid could say that, and that's probably good for the Sixers and good for Ben and good for the morale. It doesn't change the reality of all this, though. Like, this isn't going to just go away overnight. And I actually think now, from where we are, we're not going to see or hear from Ben for a while. And he's going to continue to get paid. We won't see or hear from him for a while. It's kind of going to be out of sight, out of mind, until I guess a trade happens. I mean, I don't know if there's a next step. It feels like everyone played all their cards this week. I'll show up. I'll have a cell phone in my pocket. I'll wear sweatpants. I'll get thrown out of practice. My back hurts. I'm not mentally ready to play. I'll address the team. Like, I don't know where we go from here now. It feels like I'm worried saying, screw it, I'll keep you for 4 years. Doesn't it feel like everyone has just kind of played all their cards this week? Like, what's left?
Yeah, like all the action came fast and furious, and there was a new update every day, and now it kind of feels like waiting.
Right?
Like the next move is either Ben Simmons shows up or Daryl Morey trades him. And it doesn't sound like either team or either side of this debate is necessarily keen on that happening quickly.
Yeah, I mean, from the perspective of Ben Simmons, is there an incentive now to show up? I don't really see one. I mean, Ben Simmons is going to be able to just sit out unless he's just itching to play basketball. Like, he'll just wake up one day, 2 weeks from now, and says, I want to play again. Then that's his prerogative. But I don't know if he has an incentive to come back and play. I mean, the Sixers could avoid a circus for a little while, but I don't know if Ben Simmons has a true incentive to play to come back at any point soon. If he's going to get paid and he could stay at home and he doesn't want to play for the Sixers, he's made that pretty clear. I don't know his incentive to come back and play for a while. I mean, his one incentive the Sixers could have held over him for a while was holding his paycheck. I don't know if they could do that anymore. Let's talk to Gary in Whitehall. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Joe, what's happening?
Gary, what's up tonight? How you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling misconstrued. I mean, you haven't hope. Everybody that calls in hasn't had a single doubt of hope. I actually agree with everybody else. As long as Howfree is in there, I don't think there's going to be any change in this system. You can't say no, because this system and this regime is just run by a couple strings.
Yeah, but, you know, Gary, they haven't been terrible with these guys here. I mean, it's not good right now, and the last year and a half has been bad, but it's not like the Eagles with Jeffrey and Howie have been a terrible football team for a decade. They haven't.
I mean, you think they haven't been terrible?
Over the last decade? No, they haven't been terrible.
Well, no, they caught lightning in a bottle in 2017. Howie did make some good moves that year where, you know, I mean, J.H.I., Garrett Blunt, Chris Long. I mean, you had a bunch of one-year guys that were able to mesh together, and they played their butts off, and they won the Super Bowl. I don't see it happening again for a long time. We sold our soul to the devil.
Yeah, I mean, well, they may have, but they do have, I mean, they have had more winning seasons than losing seasons with Howie as the GM of the team. Like, they're not.
Yeah. And you got to thank Andy Reid.
But no, beyond since Andy left. I mean, since Andy left, they've had a 10-win season, a 10-win season, 13-9-9.
You had Andy Jr.
Right, but those guys hired Andy Jr.
Right. I mean, quite honestly, in your time, you ever see a GM go through four coaches and not have the GM be fired?
It's pretty rare. It's pretty rare.
Very rare.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Saga, got to get rid of him. You can't have any detrimental effects to the rest of the team, him being around, whether he's around or not. He's still in their head until he's gone. And I was telling Tucker, I'm not sure, so sure about Joel. Why didn't he get surgery on that MCL?
Yeah, the meniscus. I don't know, and it's really it's just disconcerting, Gary. That second game of the year, where, you know, he's questionable and it's a game time decision. It's just this ridiculous reality that he's never ever healthy.
Exactly. All right, Joe. We'll see what happens in Vegas.
Yes,
and,
Gary.
You know what? Hey, and unfortunately, if they win, what happens in Vegas may stay in Vegas.
Oh, no, they don't win again after Gary appreciates the phone call. If they win in Vegas, we're excited next week. Eagles-Lions next week, a chance to get back to 4-4? Or do they beat the Raiders and lose to the Lions? Lions are pretty bad.
How many What Happens in Vegas references will we get next week? No matter what happens, whether it's newspaper headlines, podcast titles.
I mean, the first time you're going to hear it is a joke by Sirianni in the post game after they win.
You don't think, like, Merle in the fourth quarter? Like, if they're down 21, like, oh, what happens in Vegas? I hope it stays in Vegas.
Yeah. Or the other way, right? If they win, couldn't you see Sirianni? They asked him about, you know, what worked today? And he makes some sort of, like, fun Nick Sirianni joke that everyone, like,
I'm already sick of it.
Kind of laughs at and kind of rolls their eyes at. Yeah, I think there'll be quite a bit of that. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We'll come back. Your phone calls. Speaking of Nick Sirianni, you'll hear what he had to say about the fans that are making their way out to Las Vegas as part of a contingent cheering for the Eagles. And we'll let you hear the latest. Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN. What is the latest on the Ben Simmons trade talks? Who have the Sixers talked to? That is coming up. 215-592-9494. Have you already thrown in the towel on the 2021 Eagles? I haven't. I think they're going to win this game on Sunday, and I think they could turn this season around. The schedule is much lighter. A lot of the underlying numbers says they're not as bad as we think they are. And I think most of the pessimism is the fact they've gone up against three top five, six quarterbacks in the league already. They only face one more top 12 offense until between now and week 18. I see reasons for this thing to turn around. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
827 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494 gets you aboard here as we discuss the Eagles Sunday in Las Vegas against the Raiders. Eagles 3-point underdogs coming up at 9. Steve Fezzik, pregame.com. His thoughts on all of Week 7, including Eagles Raiders. And then NFL picks, guess the takes, and my favorite Eagles Raiders props coming up later in the show tonight. Now, before we go back to the phone lines here, Nick Sirianni today was asked about the fans coming out and what his expectations are and kind of just the excitement of having a game where you kind of realize it's not going to be a totally hostile environment because half the crowd or so is going to be yours traveling out to make that atmosphere a fun one. Here is Nick Sirianni on Eagles fans coming out to Vegas this weekend.
Our fans have – I've seen our fans travel to Atlanta, right? I've seen our fans travel to Carolina, like, Dallas, like you see it, like the response that we got coming out of the hotel in Carolina was awesome. It reminded me of like when it reminded me of like at Mount Union at a game, like the bowl game, the national championship game, walking through the hotel and everyone cheering you. I'm like, this is kind of cool.
And look, I think Nick Sirianni is real to an extent. Like, that's what he thought of, right? Like, that's his experience. He thought of Mount Union, but it's just, I have to laugh sometimes. Like, he's comparing Eagles fans, you know, I don't know, 20,000 of them or so, what it'll be on Sunday, traveling across the country to people coming to his Division III title game. Like, moms and dads and brothers and sisters go to those games. Like, those, I mean, Mountain Union doesn't have real fans, Nick. Right? Like, this is not Alabama. Like, that's his comparison.
I thought it was hysterical. Like, it reminds me, I remember when Carson Wentz was here.
Yeah.
And they first asked him, like, what's it going to be like, you know, going to Philadelphia, big market? And he's like, well, you guys don't know how big of a deal North Dakota State football is up here in Bismarck.
Oh, okay.
And then after, you know, 2.5 years, he realized he got pretty sick of it quick. Like, I get it. That's what Nick Sirianni is. But as soon as I heard that, I was like, well, is he saying, because I think he says it almost as like. So congratulations to Eagles fans. You're almost as good as Mount Union football fans.
Now, to be fair, he was. I think he was talking about a big game Mount Union was in. Right? That wasn't just a regular season game.
I don't even know, like, could you find Mount Union on a map? Is it on a mountain? Is it on Mount Union?
I have. Do you even know what state it's in? I think Ohio. Just
and that's a pretty flat state, I think.
I'm just guessing. I mean, I could be wrong. It could be in Colorado. I have no idea. All right, Tucker will get on that. Mount Union, where is that? Let's talk to Larry. Tucker's going to look up the geography of Mount Union, and then we'll hear the latest on Ben from Woj. Larry in Maple Shade. Hey, Larry.
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Good, Larry. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, let's go back to before all this train wreck of Ben Simmons started. If he would have just came out and said, hey, this was on me, I played like crap, it's on me, I'm going to get my act together, I'm going to practice harder and get it right. If he would have came in and owned up to this, I think the fans would have been behind him and would have supported the whole thing.
I agree.
But since he went the opposite way with everything, and me personally, I don't agree with the mental angle, just because after it was over, he was seeing the U.S. Open with his new girlfriend. I mean, if you had a mental, that's why I don't believe in it, because he was in a really bad mental state. Why would he even be in the U.S. Open with a bunch of people?
Yeah, Larry, look, I don't know. It's just, you know, what frustrates me is you follow the pattern of behavior and all the stories that have been out, right? Like, he doesn't want to be here anymore. He asked for a trade. He'll do anything to get out of here. Then he showed back up when they started fining him, and he went to practice so he wouldn't get fined. Then he got thrown out of practice. Then his back hurt, even though the team said his back is fine. And now, you know, because I don't think he wants to be fined anymore, it comes out that, you know, he's not mentally ready to play. And from what I understand, Larry, with the collective bargaining agreement, they can't fine him now. Like, he can stay away from the team. He's not mentally ready to play. And by the rules, I don't think now the NBA or the Sixers are allowed to fine him. So he's going to get to keep his money and basically not play for the team anymore.
Well, I know if we did something like that and we acted like that, we wouldn't have jobs, period. We'd be out the door. But here you go. Bye-bye. Nice knowing you.
Yeah, I think most people would. I mean, think about it. This is basically 5 months of him trying to sabotage the organization. I mean, that's what's going on here. And Larry, he frustrates me. And also, I'm frustrated with the Sixers, right? Because they could have traded him in the summer and moved on from this. But now we're just kind of like everyone's dug in and just digging their heels in.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. And from a professional, I'm guessing from a professional standpoint, I mean, you have like Maxey and Feibel and maybe and other young players. That's not sending a good example to them either. That's basically saying, oh, yeah, you can do what you want. You still have your job. You still get paid. That's not sending in a good example at all, in my opinion.
Well, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of the way of the NBA now. And, Larry, I appreciate the call. I mean, it is the way of the NBA. I mean, the player empowerment has gotten to the point where the players run the league. Now, the Ben thing is unprecedented. We've seen Anthony Davis. We've seen Jimmy Butler. Obviously, it worked out for the Sixers for a period of time. But we've seen players, in effect, throw tantrums until they get their way and get their way to where they want to go or you know, try to kind of leverage where they want to go. We've seen this, but we have never seen a player with 4 years left on his contract try to pull a stunt like this. It's unprecedented. Also, we've never seen a player as, I don't know if that's the right word, but as bad as Ben or not as great as, we only have seen it with great players or very good players. You know, guys that are difference makers that teams would fall over themselves to get, even if, you know, that guy's putting up a stink, right? Like, Anthony Davis made the Lakers a title team with LeBron. Jimmy Butler is a difference-making player that has now taken a team to the finals and helped the Sixers go to another level. Ben Simmons ain't not that guy.
No, it's weird because I wouldn't say he's the worst. He just occupies a weird middle spot, right? Because if he was bad,
right, he's not
and they
bad,
didn't yeah. have this financial responsibility toward him, he'd be gone, right? If he was the 11th guy on the roster, they'd say, all right, see you later, and you'd cut him tomorrow, wouldn't think twice. If he was, you know, ruined to the point beyond belief, you would unload him for nothing, right? Think about what the Washington Wizards did with John Wall.
Sure.
They pretty much just told Houston, here you go, take him. We don't care. We don't want to deal with him anymore because of his injury history. Ben Simmons kind of offers some amount of hope, some amount of potential that the Sixers and maybe a potential suitor see. But he hasn't realized it yet. And he may never realize it, and he probably will never realize it. But It's just an odd middle ground that I don't think anybody in this situation has ever really tried to pull this power play.
Yeah, and also from the Sixers' perspective, and this, I think, is why Daryl Morey's doing what he's doing. He's their only – he's their last hope at landing a star. He's not becoming one, a real star. But because of his salary and because of the hopes other teams might have for him, he's their last hope in a trade. Like, if he disappears, they don't really have the avenue to get the star using another player on the roster other than – I mean, like, imagine offering Tobias Harris for a star. It's not going to work out. 215-592-9494. All right. Let's let you hear Adrian Wojnarowski. Here's the latest from Woj on the Sixer situation and Ben Simmons. We'll get to this here. And he was on SportsCenter like maybe an hour ago talking about the latest with Ben and what he's hearing around the NBA.
The Sixers play the Nets, obviously, tonight, who are without Kyrie Irving. Daryl Morey has called all over the league, talked to teams about star players everywhere and trying to find a deal for Ben Simmons. One team he has not called, I'm told, that's the Brooklyn Nets. He has not lobbed a call to Sean Marks, their GM, about Kyrie Irving. You know, Brooklyn, I'm told, has taken incoming calls from teams on Kyrie Irving, but they have not themselves made any calls about Irving. So Brooklyn and Philadelphia, with these two players in limbo, they have not talked to each other about a Simmons for Kyrie Irving trade.
Why? That's my question. So, according to Woj, the Nets are answering phone calls on Kyrie Irving, and Daryl Morey hasn't placed the phone call yet? Am I the only one who thinks that's bizarre? Like, don't you make that phone call? Don't you call the Nets and say, would you be interested in Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving? I mean, you don't have to do the deal if they say, yes, we're interested, but you could gauge that. You could at least have that in your back pocket where you know, okay, if he doesn't get vaccinated and play for the Nets in the next 2 months, they might get desperate, and they're already interested. That's... I don't understand that. Why wouldn't he make that call? I can't find any reason not to call the Nets and say, would you do the deal, and just see what they say. And again, Woj is saying that the Nets are taking calls on Kyrie Irving. I find that to be absolutely ridiculous on Daryl Morey's part. Ridiculous. Tucker, don't you think he has to call the Nets and just gauge if they'd have interest in Ben for Kyrie?
Especially if you're telling everybody else that you need a difference maker.
Right, he's probably the most available difference maker.
Yeah, I just think it's funny, right? If Daryl Morey's big thing is I'm not trading him unless a difference maker is available, there's one that's possibly available, and there's one that at least other teams think is available if other teams are calling about the services of Kyrie Irving. It's just odd. And we talked about it last night. Like, just something doesn't really add up. I don't know if Daryl Morey is working on something else in the background, but... isn't it weird, like, if the cupboard and the offers were as barren as we thought they are, don't you think he would have softened his stance a little bit? Right? Like, and wouldn't you think that if the only difference maker that he thinks is possibly available is Kyrie Irving, that he would have reached out about something?
Yeah, of course.
I just think, like, maybe we're reading too far into this, but there has to be something else here. Because I think Daryl Morey's a pretty smart guy. I think he's a very logical guy. And whether or not you agree with some of the moves he's made since joining the Sixers, the big moves he's made have worked out, right? Trading Al Horford,
yeah.
Getting rid of Josh Richardson. Like, offloading those assets for players who fit a lot better, that's kind of what this Ben Simmons trade is going to be, just on a grander scale. I find it so odd that things that seem incredibly logical and things that should line up pretty easily, he just doesn't seem interested in.
Yeah, and you know what? Perhaps this is all just wasting time until December 15th, because that's the date where players who had signed, you know, had moved teams this past offseason are eligible to move again. So maybe this is, I mean, literally just, let's just buy our time to get to December 15th, and maybe he's got something cooking then. I don't know. I mean, I've gotten past the point of trying to figure out what might be going on that I can't see. I mean, like, I just... Here's what I know. I know the facts right now, right? Ben's not with the team. He is not going to be with the team likely now for a little while. I don't think he just comes back tomorrow. And the 76ers seem hell-bent on keeping him until they get a star back. And I don't know when that's happening. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard. We will talk to Steve Fezzik, pregame.com, coming up at 9 o'clock. And, of course, we're going to have NFL picks for Week 7. Guess the takes. And my favorite FanDuel Sportsbook props for the Eagles-Raiders game. I have a bunch of them that I like a lot. I mean, last time, I think it was 2 weeks ago we did the, uh, or Like last week I hit a few. I know I had Rager's catches under. That was almost too easy on FanDuel Sportsbook. A couple weeks ago, I know I had Sam Darnold under his passing and rushing yards, and someone around here told me I was crazy.
We took the over on Tom Brady rushing yards last week.
Well, that was a bad beat, by the way.
Yeah, that wasn't fair.
He
got 3 yards, and then he lost all three.
Yeah, I mean, the end of that game was just it destroyed some props. The Eagles, obviously the Eagles covered that game because the Bucs didn't try to score. But also, if that game could have flipped so many different ways that people took it, right? The over, the Bucs covering, the Brady rushing prop. I couldn't believe that. When he had the one little dive forward to get his yards, I was like, wow, we hit it. We hit the Brady rushing prop. Nobody takes that. And then he lost it. And I felt like a moron. Like, why are we betting on Tom Brady's rushing yards?
What bothered me is he lost a yard on his first two kneels, which brought him from 3-1. His last one was for no gain. Why couldn't he have just done that the first two? Like, step forward, Tom.
Well, you think maybe Tom knew. Tom took the under.
You think Tom's betting against himself?
20-something years in the league, every accolade you could find, and the scandal finally comes out. Tom Brady takes his own rushing prop under on Thursday Night Football. 215-592-9494. Greg is in West Philadelphia. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you doing? This is my favorite show of all the WIP shows. I love your analysis. So
well,
fun
thank you, Greg. We appreciate listening. What are you thinking of? What's on your mind?
So I'm a doctor, and I just want to just maybe give a comment about when we're talking about mental illness, what we're really talking about. And with respect to Ben Simmons, which, I know nothing about Ben Simmons' personal issues at all, but just as a sports fan and a doctor, here's what I can tell you. When we say mental illness, what we mean is some anxiety, or depression or something, which we all feel these feelings sometimes, anxiety or down days or whatever. But when it comes to illness, illness means it gets in the way of your functioning with your life. And what I see was a guy who's struggling at basketball right now. And, if we don't think that he wants to be loved and good at basketball in all the ways that we want him to be, we're crazy. I'm sure he does. But the issue is that when you see him not dunk in that game, you know, that was sort of a jaw-dropping moment. You're like, okay, something's wrong here. And it's getting in the way of his functioning. So if people are, I get it. Like, he's done a lot of things that, this is me as a sports fan. I get it. He's done a lot of things where it's like he doesn't want to be here, whatever. But you can't expect people who are struggling mentally to act rationally and to do things that you can explain. So he's not doing some things because he has anxiety. It makes a lot of sense to me looking at what he's done.
Yeah, and we had a doctor actually, Greg, about an hour or two ago call and basically said something similar to what you are, like that it actually does make sense. The question I asked him, and I'll ask you the same thing. I'm not so much accusing Ben of this. I'm just the pattern of behavior. It's hard for me not to be skeptical. And this is coming from the sports fan perspective. Obviously, you come at it from a better perspective to speak on this, but. Do you find yourself skeptical, like the sports fan in you, when you watch the pattern of, I don't want to be there, I want to be traded, then the reports come out, he'll do whatever he can to be traded. He also starts showing up when they're taking his money away. And then today, ESPN put out, through the CBA, the NBA's collective bargaining agreement, they can't fine him if he has to stay away from the team or needs to because of what he's saying now. Like, do you find any sort of skepticism with the pattern that leads us to he can't lose his money if this is what he's saying?
Right. So I think that's a question for the sports fan side of me. And I guess with the sports fan side of me, I'd say yes. With the side of me that's like a clinical person who's not only, dealt with people clinically who have mental illness, and I'm not saying he does have that. I'm just saying, if that's what we're considering here, you just can't expect them to act in ways that make sense and aren't frustrating and contradictory and confusing.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly where they act. That's like the way you expect them to
act.
Until it's controlled.
Right. And that makes sense. And Greg, this is it feels like this is a story that's not going to just go away tomorrow. So we're going to keep following. Greg, I really appreciate you calling in. I appreciate listening to the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
There he goes. Greg, West Philly, a doctor. Very similar. The two doctors listen to the show. By the way, is the evening show the show of doctors? We have a doctor in Atlanta that listens. I forget. I apologize. I forget his name. He's called a bunch over the years.
We've had multiple doctors calling tonight.
I just feel like per capita, we have more doctors than the rest of the shows on WIP. I mean, I could be wrong.
I'd say the intelligence of evening show callers is far superior to every other show on WIP.
I agree with that. Is that also the ones that yell at me and call me stupid? Or can I say they're not as intelligent?
No, they don't count.
Okay. Well, maybe they are. Maybe I'm wrong sometimes. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you get it. All right, we're going to have Steve Fezzik coming up at the top of the hour. But one thing I wanted to throw out there that I found interesting, I was just looking through a bunch of things here with the Eagles-Raiders game and kind of this matchup. Now, I've been saying from the beginning of the show, I'm bullish on the matchup. I think the Eagles have a real chance to win this game. They're 3-point underdogs. But I actually think this is a good matchup for them. The Raiders are a team that loves to make big plays through the passing game. Loves it. That is how they have sustained offense this year. They make big plays. They throw the ball deep down the field. You know what the Eagles don't do? They don't allow many teams or anyone to make big plays down the field. You have to, you know, beat the Eagles 10-yard gain after 12-yard gain, 10-yard gain after 12-yard gain. That's not what the Raiders do. I mean, the Raiders have created explosive plays. Henry Ruggs averaging over 20 yards a catch this year. Brian Edwards, their other young wide receiver, over almost 18, I think maybe close to 20 yards a catch. They've created explosive plays down the field with Derek Carr. That's not how you beat the Eagles. I actually think this plays into the Eagles a lot, where the Raiders' offense creates explosive plays. Eagles don't allow that to happen. And on the other side, you know, the Raiders are, I would say their weakness is probably their offensive line. It's very similar to the Panthers game from that perspective, in that when the Eagles have the advantage up front, they're going to be all right. And I think they have the advantage up front again this game.
Yeah, the one thing that the Eagles have struggled to do is stop the run, right? Think about Thursday night, Tampa Bay pretty much just told Leonard Fournette, hey, do whatever you want. We'll give you the ball 30 times. Go win us the game. Chuba Hubbard ran for over 100 yards against the Eagles. Obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a big game against the Eagles. Vegas is the worst rushing team in football. They're averaging 3.3 yards per carry, which is the lowest mark in the NFL. But they still have Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs had a really good rookie year, kind of struggled last year, hasn't played well this year. He missed a couple weeks with, I believe, a foot injury or a calf injury. I wonder if they basically decide to try and do the same thing these other teams have done, where, hey, the Eagles can't stop the run. We have a running back who, although he's struggled, is someone who is highly touted. Let's see if Josh Jacobs can win us a football game.
Maybe. They could do that. Though I think the Eagles would probably take that trade-off, right? Like, you're going to take the ball to Derek Carr's hands and not make big plays down the field to run it with Josh Jacobs? I think the Eagles probably take that.
Well, I mean, we've seen that, right? Their whole defensive scheme is based around the idea of making opponents do that.
Yeah, and their offensive line, they actually moved Alex Leatherwood, who was a surprise first-round pick of theirs, an offensive tackle. He started the year tackle. They moved him inside.
Great name.
Alex Leatherwood. It sounds like a bad guy in, like, an old video game or something.
I mean, Leatherwood sounds like a cologne. What are you wearing? It's Leatherwood?
Yeah. You feel like Tucker Bagley, marketing agent for Leatherwood Cologne over here. It does sound like cologne. He hasn't played very well so far. That's a problem. His cologne aside, he was not good at tackle. They moved him to guard. He has struggled there. It kind of reminds me of, what was it, week one, where the Eagles were playing a young guard and Javon Hargrave began his Pro Bowl campaign, just pushed that kid out of the way all day. I think the Eagles have a big advantage up front. I think their strategy on defense works well on this matchup against the Raiders. And on the other side, that Raiders defense is okay. I don't think they're special. They don't blitz much. Their ends are pretty good. Crosby's having a great year rushing the quarterback. They have Yannick Ngakoue, who was rumored to the Eagles a couple years ago. We talked about that a lot on the show. So, I mean, they're all right. But I think in the middle of the field, they could be had. The Eagles probably should be able to run the football. I know I'm saying something that sounds ridiculous and crazy because they don't run the football, but when they do, they should have a lot of success running the football. I love the matchup. The Raiders don't strike me as a 4-2 team that, like, oh no, they're going to play the Las Vegas Raiders. This Raiders team lost at home 2 weeks ago to the Bears. So this is a very winnable game. And I think that the Eagles have a very good chance to win this game and start turning this season around. 215-592-9494. We do have Steve Fezzik, pregame.com, coming up, top of the hour. But let's grab Charles in Collingswood, who has a theory here on Ben Simmons and everything going on. What's up, Charles?
How you doing?
Good, Charles. What's up?
So, like, I mean, I've been thinking about this for as long as people have been debating the Ben Simmons thing, and if you're Philadelphia, if you're the Sixers organization, wouldn't you scratch your head and say to yourself, why on earth would Ben Simmons put his house and his condo up for sale before he has this incredible mental breakdown? I mean, all that happened. He put his house in Morristown, his $5 million place up for sale. He put his condo up for sale. Like, why are you preemptively anticipating a mental breakdown? Like, what's going on?
I mean, Charles, to go off of what you're saying, it just adds to the pattern of behavior that led to today, right? We're talking about a guy who wanted a trade. He told the team he wanted a trade. Reports came out he would do anything to get out of here. He was fined at the beginning of training camp in the preseason. Then he showed up so he wouldn't accrue any more fines. He showed up to practice wearing sweatpants and a cell phone in his practice, got kicked out of practice. Then yesterday his back hurt, and the doctors checked him out, and they said, your back is fine. And then today, Charles, you know, and like you said, he also put his house up for sale, his homes. And then today, you know, he tells the team he's not mentally ready, and by the collective bargaining agreement, they can't fine him now. You know, he can stay away from the team, and he won't get any fines. I mean, it's hard not to look at connect the dots here.
Right. It's an obvious crutch, and I think it'll be an obvious thing for some lawyers to litigate at some point down the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting perspective, Charles. I don't know if they will. I mean, I don't know if it's worth it for the Sixers to take him to court, you know, if they actually think this is not, you know, real, or it's just for the money. I don't even know if it's worth it. I just think
I'm not talking court necessarily. I'm just talking
lawyers.
about some settlement agreement.
Yeah, you know what? I actually think it's going to end up where he gets all his money and they just trade him within the next couple months. I think it's going to I think he's going to just get his money.
Bingo.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jim.
Charles,
Thank you.
You got it, man. I appreciate the phone call. I mean, is it worth it for the Sixers? You know, we had Howard yesterday on with us, and he said that he'd been told from the Sixers that they, I don't remember the words he used, that they were frustrated, and I'm not sure if they, now this was before he went in today and told the team what he told them, but this was, as of yesterday, they were frustrated and didn't quite believe what they were hearing from him. Right? That's what Howard had heard yesterday. Is it worth it for the Sixers to fight Ben Simmons for his money? I mean, I don't want to pay anything past Josh Harris when it comes to money. But, like, from a PR standpoint, if they're going to trade him anyway in the next 5 months, is it worth it to, like, fight him for his salary when he says he's not mentally ready to play? I don't see the upside.
Josh Harris also has a lot of money.
A lot.
Like more than, I think, both of us combined.
Oh, yeah. Us. More than us combined? Or you mean the whole audience listening?
No, just us.
Yeah, he's got a little more than us combined.
So, I mean, while it looks bad, or, you know, maybe the, if you want to be petty and get revenge, you want to withhold it. But whatever they owe him is a drop in the bucket, right? A couple home games, some extra jersey sales, and they'll make it up in a heartbeat.
Right. This is not going to – yeah, Josh Harris's bank account is not going to just go belly up because he's paying Ben Simmons to be Simmo the Savage in his house right now. Like, that's not going to – he's going to be just fine. My new prediction on all this is Ben Simmons is never going to come back and play for the Sixers again. He's going to stay home until they trade him. That's it. I mean, I think we went from a whole lot of nothing to a whole lot of a lot, and now I think we'll pivot back to nothing until a trade goes down. That's if the Sixers fight him for his money, it's just a losing battle.
You know, Josh Harris is worth $6.2 billion.
And you said he has a little bit more money than us.
Yes.
I always wonder.
It's all relative.
I always wonder what people, like, how do you calculate what someone's worth? Like, I don't even know what I'm worth. Like, I guess, like, do they put my house into it? Is that part of me?
Is that, like, an asset, I guess?
Right. Like, that would make me, like, I don't have a gigantic house. I just have what I think is a normal house. But, like, that probably would make me look like I'm worth more than I am. Like, if you ask me what I'm worth, I don't know. Like, I would say, like, what's in our bank right now?
Yeah, like, I know what I have in my checking account.
Right. But I don't think that's how they do it. I think there's, like, your assets get factored in. Does my minivan get factored in?
I hope so.
Does my, my Samsung Google Chrome that I got for free when I signed up for cable, does that get factored in?
It's probably.
Worth like $20 now? Does my backpack get factored in? My water bottle that's like...
Your kids, probably.
No, you can't factor them in.
What do you mean?
But like, how do you put... What do you put a monetary worth on them? They're people. You can't do that.
I guess you can't do that.
No, you can.
Even though they're yours.
Right. Yeah, but no, you...
Just be a separate column, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what column that is, but yeah, definitely a separate column. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We'll come back. Steve Fezzik, pregame.com. Look around week 7 in the NFL. What does he think? Raiders or Eagles? What is the right side? Eagles getting 3 points on the road Sunday. We'll discuss it on Sports Radio 94 WIP. There's a big week 7 matchup between Houston and Arizona. FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the NFL week right by winning $150 on a $5 bet. Look, I'm taking the Arizona side. I can't go against the undefeated team at home with the great quarterback playing at an MVP level right now. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and there are fast payouts when you win. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up promo code Jillio this week before Houston takes on Arizona. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code Jillio so they know I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.